Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 18.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 18, Episode 7. That's right, after today, we only have 3 more episodes left of this season. And it seems like these seasons are going quicker and quicker each time. I can't believe it will be mere weeks until that finale, and believe me, it's a finale that no one will want to miss. Today, however, we're going to be looking at a case which is as bizarre as it is terrifying. Whatever it was that was encountered by the individual who sent in today's experience brought out that very human desire to want to know more about something they don't understand. One could argue, and I often do, that with things like the paranormal, sometimes it's best to not do that. But before we get to today's experience, I want to remind you all about our wonderful society over on Patreon. Now, when you sign up to Patreon, not only will you receive everything on this main feed, both early and ad-free, but you can also gain full access to the Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites releases every Sunday of the year, and there's close to 100 hours worth of material in that back catalogue for our Patreons to binge. And as every episode of Dark Bites contains on average around 3 stories, that's about 300 experiences that you've not yet heard. But, and I know I mention this every week, and I will mention it every week because it's the truth, the best thing about the Patreon community is the community itself. I've never sincerely experienced a group of like-minded, enthusiastic paranormal believers or skeptics who support each and every other Patreon in that community. Safe spaces online to discuss things like the paranormal are fewer and fewer. And they often have a hierarchy involved, or at the very least some form of moderator where someone wears a badge and they can only approve your comment. There is no such thing on our Patreon. And there's 2 very good reasons for that. Number 1, people who join our Patreon are all of a like mind. They've been members of these groups before, they've seen how they've become almost societies within societies, and they've seen countless times, as numerous others including myself have, how these groups can often just turn into a fight of who knows the most about the topic, who is the expert. But the second reason is because no one is an expert, and we all know that. Our Patreon community moderate themselves. They will support people even when they don't believe their story. They will ask questions in a right way. And by that, I mean they're not condescending. Everyone is conscious of looking out for each other. They are aware, whether they believe the person's experience or not, how much it must have took for them to have put their experience down. So if you believe yourself to be an expert in the field of the paranormal, this is not the Patreon for you. But if you like the sound of early access to ad-free releases, the ability to access nearly 100 hours of experiences for Patreon's ears only, and a community which looks after each other, then head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And all of our new team members will have their name read out at the end of each show. And we've put it at the end of the show, so I don't have to do an almost rap at the start to try and speed through those names. So head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time. Lower those lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. as we listen to My Name is Glob. Dear Kevin, I'd like to thank you for the excellent work you're doing. I love hearing these stories all year round. I believe you're doing a service for the community, both the believers' community and the non-believers. I'm happy to have a place to share my experience too. I'm also loving the Dark Realms and the Minisodes. The variety is great, and my only fear is that you'll run out of content. But I do enjoy having all three podcasts to listen to every week. My main experience is about a time in college. But first, I'd like to give you some background on myself. My name is Jason, but the rest of the names in this story will be changed. My mother died when I was 9 years old. This made me very interested in the afterlife and the supernatural. I learned about the Ouija board when I was about 12, and I was fascinated. I very much wanted to communicate with my mother, but I also wanted to know that there was an afterlife, and that I could reunite with her one day. So I would be happy to communicate with any spirits with whom we may be able to connect with via a Ouija board. I read many, many books about ghosts, the occult, the paranormal. In my teen years, I was also very depressed. My father remarried a woman who really didn't want kids. And my father threw himself into this new relationship and away from his children. I was more than depressed, I guess. I was suicidal from the age 12 to 18. I used a lot of drugs, I drank alcohol, smoked cigarettes, I hung out with other underachievers. I felt no love at home, and I'd fantasize about dying. I was mad at God, and I blamed him for my woes. I even checked out and read the Satanic Bible from the library. I think I was a prime candidate for dark forces to seduce me. In fact, I remember one desperate night I was laying in bed, crying in depression, and I said aloud, "I'm ready to make a deal with the devil." Nothing happened. I believe the spirit of my mother was protecting me in this most vulnerable time. My mother's spirit did haunt our house for a small while. You'd occasionally see her in the reflection of a cabinet, or see a shadow duck behind a corner. The most overt example was one time when my siblings and I were sitting around, commiserating about how much we did not like our stepmother, and how we all felt betrayed by our father. This was one of many evenings that my parents would go out and leave us home alone. My stepmother had gotten rid of just about everything that belonged to my mother when she came into the house. But the one thing that was left of my mother's was her favourite music box, which sat on a bookshelf in the living room. At one point in our conversation, one of us said something along the lines of, "None of this would have happened if Mum was still alive." Suddenly, the music box started playing, and it played for a good 2 minutes, as though it had been fully wound. But it hadn't been touched in years. We sat in silence as it played. There was another spirit in the house too, in the basement. This one corner that was just creepy. The stairs went over this area, and often, when I was climbing those stairs, I'd feel the need to hurry up those stairs, as though something was chasing me, or someone could reach from under the stairs and grab my leg. I thought it was just me, but years later my brothers confirmed they had the same feeling whenever using those stairs. In high school, I remained interested in the Ouija board, but by now I had read stories of the dangers of using the board alone. Actually, I didn't know there was any potential risk. I thought I'd be safe as long as I was doing it in a group. I occasionally was able to talk my friends into using the board. But all too often, people would not take it seriously, and they'd push the planchette purposely. They thought it was funny, but I'd get irritated. Irritated that no one else was taking this seriously. If it were up to me, I'd use that board every day. But I couldn't get a good cohort. Fast forward to college. Once I was out of the house, my depression lifted. I spent much of my freshman year in the dorm room of my two best friends, Carl and Davy, rather than in my room, because I didn't have much in common with my assigned roommate. Davy and I connected with our interest in heavy metal music, although Davy's tastes were towards the darker side of heavy metal than mine. Carl and I shared a disdain for our families and a sense of not belonging, and we connected on that level. So room 411 was like a second home for me. We had a lot of fun in that room, hosting small parties, playing music, and enjoying our newfound freedom. We also managed to find some time to study as well. But after a few months, we noticed some strange things happening. Things started coming up missing and would reappear in strange places. One night, whilst we were asleep, Davy's pillow disappeared. Well, we looked all over for that pillow, and there were not many places in this small dorm room, but it wasn't anywhere. 2 days later, it reappears at the top of his closet. Another night, my pants, complete with my wallet and keys in the pockets, vanished from the chair which I'd sat them on. A day later, they reappeared in the shower. These were the most blatant occurrences, but there were many others of missing pencils, keys, notebooks, pens. We started to suspect a haunting. We talked about this with our friends, and of course, everyone was interested. At my suggestion, we decided to make a homemade Ouija board. We cut out letters and arranged them along with the yes and no, the numbers, and goodbye. We put them on an album cover. This was the 90s, when people still had record collections, and we used a glass as a planchette. In order to ensure those touching the planchette were not guiding the movement, be it intentionally or subconsciously, we blindfolded them, and the rest of us wrote down what the board spelt out. I was on the board, blindfolded, along with our friend Ellen. We asked if there was anyone who wanted to communicate with us, and the planchette started moving. We asked its name, and it spelled G-L-O-B. We then asked some things that Ellen and I couldn't know, like people's middle names, street names where they grew up, things like that. Glob answered them all correctly. We asked where he lived, and he would not answer. The planchette just moved around in circles or the figure eight. Glob also would not answer whether it was a he or a she who'd been hiding the things. We lost interest after a while and gave up. Another night, we're walking home to the dorm after being out for dinner. Ellen noticed a light in the window of room 411. It was not the room light or a desk light. It was more an eerie glow. Carl and Davy both wondered aloud what it could be. As neither one could explain it, it piqued our interest. We hurried up the stairs to investigate, and of course, there was no light in that room. The door was locked. Only Carl and Davy had the keys, so we knew no one else could have been in the room. We headed back downstairs to see if perhaps it was a reflection that we saw in that window. But the glow was gone. Shortly after that, Davy was in room 411 all alone, and he heard a loud growl. No pets were allowed in that building. And we were on the fourth floor. So it could not have been coming from outside. This freaked him out. And he left the room until Carl returned. And he felt safe enough to re-enter. But Davy told me and the rest of our group about that growl. This reawakened our curiosity, and we went and bought a real Ouija board. That night, we again Ouija'd. I'm not sure if that can be used as a verb, but I will anyway. Again, we got a spirit. We asked its name, and again, it spelled G-L-O-B. We asked if it was he that growled, and he responded, yes. We asked what he wanted, and we couldn't get an answer. So then I had the idea to conduct a séance. All I knew about séances was what I'd seen on TV or movies. You sit in a circle, you hold hands, you light some candles, and you ask for a sign. That's about all I had. But I still felt qualified enough to conduct it. So we lit some candles, and I remember one of Davy's candles was purple and in the shape of a skull. When the flame burned down into it, the skull glowed and it really added to the creepy vibe. We held hands and announced that we would like to talk to Glob. We asked for a sign if he was with us. And then it suddenly got cold. And we heard a knocking. We all held our breath and nervously looked at each other round the circle. The knocking was like if you dropped a basketball and let it bounce to rest. The first knock loud, followed a second later by a softer one, and half a second later a softer one, a quarter second later softer still. Strangely, we could all feel this knocking too. We were sitting on the concrete floor and could all feel it on the floor. But it felt like the knocking was coming from underneath us, as in pushing the floor up. So it was almost like there was someone in the room below us dropping a heavy ball on the ceiling if the gravity was reversed. And of course, this isn't possible. We conferred and all agreed that we were hearing and feeling the same thing. I asked for a sign, and again, we got the same. We also felt it again, bouncing the floor upwards. We decided to check downstairs to see if, maybe, the people in the room below us were somehow banging the ceiling. But that room was empty, and had been all night long, according to their suite mates. Some in the group were just a little freaked out and no longer wanted to continue. So that was that, at least for that night. Let's take a quick break in proceedings to talk to you about somebody I've mentioned to you many times before, and that's Acorns. A new year, of course, brings new resolutions. Now, if my body could take itself to the gym, I would be sorted, but it can't do that. However, in regards to your financial situation, Acorns allows you to do that. Not take you to the gym, of course. But if in 2025, giving your money the best chance to grow is one of your resolutions, then choosing Acorns as an investment app is one of the smartest moves you'll make, in my opinion. Acorns will do the taking you to the gym, so to speak. You can set up an automatic withdrawal from your account to your Acorns account. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns allows you to invest with the spare money you have right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. We are so proud to be once again sponsored by Acorns for this episode because Acorns make it so easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. I love working with Acorns because they take things like investments, which we all believe are for other people, and they simplify them and give you all the support you need. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid on client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes. If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore, because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Another thing I've learned from the movies is that you can learn the history of a property by going to the library and/or the historical society. So, a few of us went to the Chicago Public Library and the Historical Society too, and tried to look up what used to be on the property before the dorm was built. We also looked for any news stories about unusual happenings that happened there since the dorm was built, but we were unable to find anything useful. Before it was a dorm, it was an apartment building on a plot of land, and there was no news about that property. And this was long before the internet, so researching was both tedious and we didn't have the time nor energy to delve too deeply into it. Several dorm mates heard about our haunting, and they wanted to come and experience it. One guy said he could read cards, like one would read tarot cards. Another one said she was a sensitive, and she could feel the presence in the room. But we didn't put any stock in what they said, and quickly shut down the sideshow. No more people who were outside the inner circle were allowed into that room. The next chance we got, which may have been that next weekend, I led another seance. I think there were six of us in total. We lit candles, held hands, and asked for a sign. And we got the same knocking and the same cold sensation. I asked if we could ask questions and have the spirit answer with one knock for yes and two knocks for no. This didn't really go anywhere, as it was hard to tell what the answer was, because every knock had multiple knocks. It seemed unreliable. I opened my eyes and I saw that Ellen, who was sitting across from me, was crying. Her eyes were open and tears were just pouring onto her cheeks. She seemed oblivious to the tears and was staring at the wall. I said, "Ellen? Ellen, are you okay?" And then she kind of snapped out of it. She had no idea that she'd been crying. But she told us what she'd seen. She relayed to us that she didn't see the wall in front of her, but she could see a scene behind the wall. She saw a woman standing on a prairie, dressed like a woman in the 1800s, and she could tell the woman was very sad. Ellen could feel the sadness of the woman, and it overcame her. She thought this woman must have lost a child or something equally terrible. She also then had a realization. "Oh my God, There's someone behind that wall. The wall in question separated the bedroom from the shared bathroom. It was the toilet area that bordered the dorm room. From the entrance to the bathroom, you'd walk to your left to enter the toilet area, then walk about two or three steps to your right to get to the toilet. So, looking through the toilet area door, you didn't see the toilet. Just the wall on the opposite side from the door. It was more like looking into a closet that extended off to your right beyond where you could see. We anxiously ran into the main area of the bathroom and looked towards the toilet area. We wanted to get a look at the other side of that wall. But when we entered the main area of the bathroom, we all stopped. We all just stopped on our own, none of us wanting to go any further. And there was no reason to stop. I'd been in that toilet 100 times before, and it was unremarkable. But I and the others just stopped, right near the sink. I could feel like there was something there in the toilet area. Something scary. We all just stood in silence, watching the open door frame. Then, around the frame, at a little above waist height, something black worked its way around the corner into view. It was blacker than black. It just stood there, fixed to that door frame. Then we see a lot more black start coming around the corner, above and below the initial black thing. Now, it was evident that the first thing we saw was its hand. And that hand pulled the rest of its body into the doorframe and into our view. It wasn't especially tall, maybe 5'10 or so, or 178 centimeters for the rest of the world. And it had no face that we could see. But as it slowly rounded the corner, we could see shoulders, legs, a torso, a head, and the one arm it was using to pull itself around the doorframe. It was the blackest thing I've ever seen. Not even like a colour, more like a black hole. Like it sucked all the light that should have been around it out of existence. We ran out of that bathroom, totally freaked out. We gathered in the dorm lounge and started talking about what had happened. I asked everyone to stop speaking. I'm very wary of the power of suggestion, so I was afraid that if one person said they saw something specific, others would naturally agree with them. So, to prevent this, we all wrote down individually what we'd seen and then compared notes. Notes I wish I'd held on to, but it didn't occur to me at the time. We all saw the hand, and then the body of the blackest and scariest thing that we'd all ever seen. It wasn't the black that was so scary, although that certainly was. It was that this thing emitted a sense of dread. Like we all knew we were in danger. Like our very souls were screaming at us to get out of that situation. For a few days, I started using my room's bathroom again, as did Davy and Carl. We didn't tell the suite mates about what happened that night. And after a few days of them using the bathroom without incident, we resumed using it. All the time, a small piece of us wondered if we were all being silly. But the fact we all heard the same sounds, all saw the same apparition, all felt the same dread, these all made me think that it was much more than our mere imagination. The day after we saw Glob, we decided to get help. There was a local ghost hunter in Chicago named Richard Crow. We called and told him of our story, and he and an associate came out to the dorm to interview us all. He, of course, was very interested in the happenings and started talking about setting up surveillance. They planned to come in on the weekends so as to not disturb our studying and set up infrared cameras audio recorders, and some other types of equipment I've never heard before. They couldn't come that weekend, as they had another engagement, but they planned to come the one after, and begin the surveillance. I was very excited by this. There were no Ghost Hunter shows back then, so this was my first exposure to real paranormal investigative procedures, and I was all in. A few days later, Davey was alone in the room. There were posters hung on every wall, but suddenly, the posters that were on the wall that bordered the bathroom all fell off the wall. Not just that, they started swirling in the middle of the room, like some sort of vortex or tornado in the room, even though all the windows were closed. Nothing else was disturbed in the room but these posters blowing round in a circle. Davey ran out of that room and didn't go back in until both I and Carl had returned. Davey told us the story and I was very excited. I wanted to call Richard Crowe right away and give him the report. But then Davey became adamant that we were not going to investigate this any further. He announced to us he was just going to pretend it wasn't happening. And he wanted us to do the same. He was freaked out and said, "The more attention we're given this thing, the stronger it's getting, and we need to just ignore it." I disagreed. I told him, "This thing was trying to get our attention long before we knew it was even here. We didn't create this. Who knows? It might have escalated like this if we did nothing. And now we're in greater need of expert assistance. Once it's documented, maybe Richard can get a psychic or a priest out here, maybe do an exorcism. But this might be a chance to finally prove that ghosts and spirits exist." This was long before the proliferation of ghost hunting shows, and I think even more people were skeptical to the existence of the paranormal back in the 90s than they are now. I was so excited that we might be furthering the field of paranormal research, and I was very upset with Davey for pulling the plug on this investigation. I appealed to Carl, but he wouldn't go against his roommate. It wasn't even my dorm room, so I had no real legitimate say in the matter. The funny thing is, though, that once we did start to ignore it, it really did start to subside. There was no more growling or poster vortexes. Things continued to disappear and reappear, but less frequently. Before I sent this story in, I got back in touch with Ellen and Carl to verify my recollection. It's been over 30 years since this happened, and I might have misremembered some things, but they both remember the events the same as I do. Unfortunately, no one is in touch with Davey anymore. But if you'd like to reach out to Carl or Ellen for confirmation or clarification, I'll gladly put you in touch with them. Kevin, you often tell us that when you look into the dark, don't be surprised if the dark looks back. I guess it can work both ways. If you look away from the dark, maybe the dark looks away from you. I'm not suggesting by any means that all hauntings can be resolved with some inattention. I feel for your many contributors who've been plagued for long times by demons and spirits and attachments, and I'm sure that in many cases, ignoring the haunting won't be enough to stop it. But in this case, taking our energy away seemed to take Glob's energy away. The next year, I shared that room, 411, with Carl, and there was no paranormal activity at all. It seemed that the haunting was centered around Davey. Davey was into heavy metal, dark imagery. He wasn't satanic at all, but he liked skulls. He liked the satanic imagery and very dark, evil-sounding music. So maybe Glob was his ghost or demon. and the rest of us were just along for the ride. Whatever it was my greatest and scariest ghost experience of my life, and I'll never forget it. Many thanks, Jason. Well, Jason, thank you so much for such an interesting experience. And again, I often talk about validators or authenticators, and within your experience, it features many. The small team we have here all agree that this is something we think definitely took place. Why it took place is anyone's guess. But your theory is a really good one. It's also interesting in terms of not paying attention to something may drain it of its energy. And it's a common held belief, the more you think or concentrate on an issue even, let alone the paranormal, the worse it becomes. Let me just end by saying glob is something I certainly don't want to run into at any point in my life. But genuinely, Jason, thank you so much for your submission. And don't forget, guys, if you have your own experience, email it over to contact@thedarkparanormal.com. But before we leave, we need to say a huge thank you and a massive welcome to our newest team members over on Patreon. And if you're thinking about joining our Patreon team, for around the cost of a coffee a month, you will gain early ad-free access to every main show on this feed. You can gain access to a fourth show a week, which is Dark Bites, released every Sunday of the year, even on the downtime between seasons. And of course, start working your way through nearly 100 hours of paranormal experiences direct from our listeners. We've built our wonderful community over on Patreon, and on behalf of them and I, we'd like to extend an exclusive invitation to join just for you. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, just like the following wonderful new team members have: Chris Badgey, Queen Mother, Yasmin Malakin, Danny, Sin, Elva Tavares, Jody Reich, Brian Dumas, Ben Morris, Daniel Chapman, Star, Jess, Alessa Frankel, Ryan G, Ollie, Beatrice Geth, Patricia T, Pulska, Emma, Jesse Rady, Stephen Wall, and Andreas H. Thank you so, so much for supporting the show, guys. It not only means the world to me, but it means we can continue doing what we do here on The Dark Paranormal. Hopefully for a long, long time yet to come. So that brings us to an end of Episode 7 of Season 18. I can't wait to join you all again next week for one hell of a story. Of course, I'll speak to you next on Monday for our next look into a dark realm. And until then, remember, when you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.